hey, good morning, and welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. My name is Paul, and I'm the teaching pastor for the Marion campus. I hope whenever it is you're listening to this, that you're doing well, and I do want to say thanks again for joining us here today. This past Sunday, we continued in the Wide Open World Mission Series, and we were in Judges chapters 4 and chapter 5 at Marion. And this passage, which details the events of Deborah and Barak, is one of my favorites in all of Scripture, which is maybe an odd favorite of all of the great passages in Scripture. But the reason, to me, is quite powerful. So in this passage, what we see is there's a lot of great details that sort of give us an insight as to what it was like in Israel at this time. The text opens in chapter 4, and we learn that a guy named Jabin is the king of Canaan, and Jabin has this commander named Sisera. And Sisera, he's a bit of a baller. He's got 900 chariots of iron. And apparently that's a big deal, because what it says is that with these 900 chariots of iron, he oppressed the people of Israel cruelly for 20 years. And chapter 5 actually gives us a little bit of an insight as to what that oppression was like and what it was like to live in Israel under the oppression of Sisera at the hand of his 900 chariots. It says in verse 6, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were abandoned. People aren't going on the main roads. Sisera and his chariots are patrolling those. They're wreaking havoc on those main roads. If you run into them, you run into trouble. It says the travelers kept to the byways. They skirted around in fear, ducked and dodged. The villagers ceased in Israel. They ceased to be until I arose. And so we get this idea that the people, even in their own villages, even in their own towns, they're staying indoors. They're fearful. They're cowering for 20 years. That's a long time, right? That's a really long time. And so eventually, though, what we see is that the word of God comes to Deborah, and it is implied that it also comes to Barak. We're not told exactly, but through Deborah, who is a prophetess as well, we're told that God has said to Barak, hey, gather 10,000 men and go to the top of Mount Tabor, and I'm going to lead Sisera and his 900 chariots into the river valley below, the river Kishon, and I'm going to give you victory over Sisera. And so in this moment, Barak has this choice to be obedient or not. And he looks at Deborah and he says, look, if you go, I'll go. And, you know, there's some different debates on what he's meaning by that. I tend to read it as some cowering and some more fear, which I think is understandable given the past. Some other interpretations there. Well, eventually they do go. They gather the men. They go to the top of the mountain. And I just want you to picture for a moment what it would have been like to be one of those soldiers, right? You're hiking up the mountain, you got your leather sandals on, it's probably hot as all get out, and you got blisters on your feet, I don't know, I probably would, and your sword's getting heavy, and your shield's getting heavy, and you get to the top of the mountain, and I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of Mount Tabor, but it's pretty barren, right? There's no hiding from the sun, it is just beating down on you, and you look down in the valley, and what do you see? 900 chariots of iron glistening in the sun. You hear the thud of horses' hooves as they roll in, the creaking and the squeaking of the iron. And you remember how he's been whooping your tail for 20 years. And you're standing on this mountain with your bow and arrow and your stick. I don't know. It's like a Boy Scout troop, you know. And you're like, what are we doing? And I think sometimes when it comes to missions, we feel a little bit like Israel against Sisera. We feel a little bit like, what am I doing? I'm not qualified to be here. I'm not qualified to say these things. I'm not qualified for God to use me. And on face value, you are 100% correct. Me either. I'm also not qualified. But here's the incredible thing about the Great Commission. See, when it comes to the command to go and to make disciples of all nations, it is a command that Jesus has given. And what's really cool about the book of Revelation is it gives us a picture that the commandment is fulfilled. In Revelation chapter 7, there is a picture of people from all tribes, tongues, and nations worshiping God in the end. And so what that means is this command that Jesus gave us over 2,000 years ago to go and make disciples and to baptize them and to teach them to obey all that Jesus has spoken to us, that command is going to be fulfilled. And so now we have this middle zone where we can choose whether or not to be a part of it. And while we are, again, as I said, on our own, not qualified, Jesus says, no, I want to actually use you. And I'm actually going to use you. And I'm going to be the one who's saving people, to be clear, by the power of my Holy Spirit, who is working and giving new life to people. But I'm going to use you in this process. In the same way as Israel is standing on top of this mountain, looking down at Sisera, they say, we're not qualified for this. But God says, look, I've got this. And as Barak finally musters up the courage, after Deborah reminds him, she says, up, has not the Lord given Sisera into your hand? Does not the Lord go before you? They charge down the mountain, and God in water washes away Sisera and his army and destroys them, as we see in chapter 5. And the point here is not to say that we need to go fight people physically, but the point is to say God has given us a command. And so often I think what gets in the way of our obedience to that command to go and make disciples is really fear of the past. Israel could have been stuck in fear in the past and said, no, he has beaten us too many times. And I think we can get stuck in fear of the past to say, we've tried this before. Maybe you've tried inviting a friend to church and they mocked you. Maybe you tried going on a mission trip once and it just didn't go well. I don't know what it is for you, but I want to encourage you, don't allow fear of the past to get in the way of obedience in the present. God has given us a very clear command to go to make disciples. And he's also given us a very clear promise that he is going to save people. In the book of Acts, Jesus, talking to the apostle Paul, reminds him, look, there are many in this city that are mine. And I believe, church, while that was given to the apostle Paul in a very specific moment, in a very specific context, I believe in our cities, in our towns, in our neighborhoods, there are many who are his, who need to be his, and who he is working on even now. And what maybe is missing is just that conversation. And maybe God would use us. And here's the thing, if God's going to save somebody, God's going to save somebody. He's going to do it with or without us. The question for us is, are we going to behold the glory of God as we step into obedience? Because the really cool thing about Israel is they charged down that mountain. What they saw was God essentially charged down in front of them. Maybe it was a beautiful, clear day. We don't really know. But again, what the text says is rain, storm clouds come crashing down. And that's really what defeats Sisera and his army. And they would see just the glory of God revealed before them. And I believe as we step into saying yes to the Great Commission, yes to the commandment to go and make disciples, we will see the glory of God rush on in front of us. As we have conversations, as we share the gospel, as we mess up, and yet we see people respond in faith regardless of our incompetency, man, that only reveals the glory of God. And that is good for our souls. So what are you afraid of today? What's holding you back? Is it a sin issue? You can receive forgiveness through Christ. I believe Jesus came to set the captives free, and he showed it in the Gospels over and over and again. And I believe that is active for us today. We can be set free from sin issues. Is it shame over past mistakes? There's forgiveness. There's newness of life in Christ. What is it that's holding you back today? That's holding you back today to be obedient today? Let's pray toward that end. I'll pray for us first, and I'll give you some time to pray as well. And again, thanks so much for joining us here on the Drivecast. Father, you know our hearts, and you know what's going on in our lives. And I ask that you'd help us be obedient and not live in fear, not be held back by what's happened in the past. But would you allow us to really step confidently out and be a part of the work that you're doing all around us? You are faithful. And we say yes to your command because you're faithful, not because we are able. We need you. We love you. Lead us as we go today. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.